think of your story. Think of your life. I mean, I don't know about you, but God, so indebted, so grateful to the saving King. You know, Scripture says he came to set the captives free. You know, way before even Jesus was born, you know, that was a messianic prophecy about the Savior, that he would come to set the prisoners free. And yeah, there's real application in that. And just thinking about, you know, the struggles that we do have, whatever addiction, whatever hardship, there's a real bind, right, that takes place. And I remember hearing a testimony, speaking of let someone testify, hearing a testimony of someone, oh, excuse me, the children are dismissed. Ages 4 to 11. And thank you. Well, I was moved by the song. That's how it is. So this guy said, you know, I won't, you know, we could just imagine, you know, real addiction, feeling trapped, feeling those chains. And he was being interviewed, and he was asked, and he found freedom. So he found freedom. So the interviewer said to him, you know, tell me, what was the one thing you'd say, you would attribute to finding this freedom that so many others, like, are stuck in? You know, and it had to deal with sexual sin, had to deal with pornography, right? And he said it was, he thought about it, and he says, it was the simple, consistent pursuit of Jesus. Amen. That brought about my freedom. Yeah. Chew on that, right? There's a pressing on, there's a pressing in, there's a looking forward, keeping our eyes on Christ, honoring His Word, taking those baby steps to sit, to be with Him. And that will fit the theme of this message of knowing Christ more. So let's pray. Jesus, we are in awe of You. Once again, that You even care. That You even care for us, Lord. There's so little care in the world. The world is very cold. And yet You came down to rescue us, to set us free, the captive ones. Lord, captive to our sin, captive to every yoke of slavery, every chain that just oppressed us and tormented us for years. And God, maybe there's some here, Lord, who are still wrestling in that torment, who are still trying to get out of that pit. Lord, would You speak hope to them today? Would You speak through Your word something to just lift them out? To keep their eyes on You, Lord, not on the past, but looking forward, reaching forward to what lies ahead, keeping eyes on You, Lord God. So we desperately need You. We all need You. Lord, we need Your grace. We need Your touch. We need the help and aid of Your Holy Spirit this morning. So minister to our hearts and our minds and our souls. In Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at what it means to truly know Christ. And honing in on that word, knowing. In Philippians 3, verses 7 to 8, the Apostle Paul said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And he goes on to say that nothing compared to knowing the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So as we mentioned, despite all his effort to gain approval with God through his own religion, right, following the law and the Jewish teachings, despite all that he aspired to do, and even despite suffering for Christ when the Lord captured his heart on that Damascus road, right, and changed him forever. Despite all those things, nothing compared, he says, nothing compared. Nothing was more valuable than personally knowing the Lord Jesus, being connected with him, belonging to him. Anything and everything else paled in comparison to that one thing, to that one relationship. Last week we looked briefly at the word knowing, and how it's translated in the Greek, which was gnosko, which means to come to know, to recognize through firsthand experience or direct relationship. So the basic idea of gnosko is that it's not just a head knowledge. This is the main thing to understand. It's not just a head knowledge here that when Paul is saying the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, he's not talking just about reading about Jesus, you know, looking at the history of Jesus. He's talking about knowing him, knowing him. It's an intimate knowledge, and it's very personal in nature. So when Paul talks about there's nothing greater than knowing Christ, he's talking about that firsthand relationship, that firsthand experience with Jesus himself. To have this kind of relationship with God is actually, think about this, why we were created. Why we were created. We don't always think that way. We don't always think that way. We'd have to go all the way back to Genesis to understand God's heart in this. He created us for worship. Coming back to the heart of worship, right? He put that deep. That's part of the image of God on humanity. He created us for worship. And whether we realize it or not, we all worship something. Wherever you are in the world, we worship something. That's because that's part of the image of God in us. Often, though, our worship is misdirected, right? So we're just chewing on this theme of getting back to the heart of worship, which involves knowing Christ personally, experientially. Jesus restores the relationship with himself through his sacrifice on the cross. Our sin debt was paid in his blood. He defeated death itself when he arose. He granted eternal life to all who believe. And still, though often our emphasis will be on those marvelous, wonderful truths, and we'll never forget them, right? We never forget the cross, ever. We never forget. Understand, too, that part of the reason for this whole salvation that God offers to us in Christ is that we can know him. Amen. We can know him. He longs to know us, to be with us. You know, so it's like intimacy restored. What was lost in Eden, God wants to restore through Christ. That's the heart of the gospel. You know, it's not just what we get from God, all right? It's not just what we receive from him. Those are just yes and amen and like, I'm so unworthy. But think about it from his perspective. He's after true worshipers. He's after those that will delight his heart, that will sit at his feet, that will enjoy him. That's his heart. That was his heart from the beginning. I know it's deep. I know it's a deep thought. But really, just ponder that. Consider that. You know that there's more. There's more to entering into relationship with Christ, confessing our sin before him, having true repentance and faith to believe in Jesus. Understand that's never meant to be the stopping point, right? We grow in him. We come to know him more. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Nothing compares to this relationship. Last week we looked at Martha's sister Mary, remember? And how she modeled this so well. Luke 10, verse 39 says, Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. What happened with Martha, though? She was upset, right? I don't know if you remember her. She got pretty upset. She was complaining to Jesus. Basically, she was complaining to Jesus. And from her perspective, it was all about being busy, busy, busy. Right? There's no time for sitting. Like, Mary, what are you doing? Like, we gotta serve. We gotta do. Jesus' response reveals so clearly what he truly desires of her and for us. Taking time to simply be with him. Taking time to simply be with him. In verse 42, Jesus said to Martha, "Only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Again, it just is very insightful to God's heart. You know, these, again, I say little clues to what's it all about. You know, is it just about what I get from God, or is he really, really, truly, truly after all of me? After so much more, you know? So this spending time with Jesus, being still before him, soaking in his word, is the one thing necessary. Why? Because he desires a knowing relationship with you and with me. A knowing relationship. Not just a knowledge of. You know, like, I know that guy down there, yeah, Owen. You know, he's stumbled and fell all these years, and yet he's doing it right now. But yeah, and over here, you know, there's Charlie, you know, and it's like, it's not like a touch and go. Like, God has knowledge. Yeah, he has foreknowledge. He's all-knowing, right? There's nothing outside of his ability to know. He knows all things. But yet there's an intimacy that he longs for with every one of us. You know, and it's a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship, not religion. Not religion. So, hearing the shepherd's voice, knowing his heart, discerning his purpose for us, just won't happen, though, if we're not being intentional about spending time with him and his word. It gets too confusing. It gets too confusing. The simplicity, it becomes so complicated, you know, because we weigh all these other voices and influences, and it kind of drowns out that simple, pure devotion to Christ, right? That simple, consistent pursuit of Jesus. So how's it been going for you this past week? Have you met with him? Have you had a moment to pause, to stop, to be still, and meet with the King of Endless Worth? The King of Endless Worth. Whether we realize it or not, our lives are already prioritized in some way. From our daily routines, to the places we go, to the people we choose to hang with, and how we spend our free time, these all reflect where and how we place our priorities. Right? I think most of us would agree. Whatever is most important to us will typically drive the decisions that we make. And I think we would also agree that we continually pursue the things that we value the most and the things that make us feel the most valued. Think about that. We continually pursue the things we value the most and the things that make us feel the most valued. That's often where we set our sights. That's often what drives our desire, right? Outside of an unexpected crisis, and I know, you know, this church and people and families here, we've been hit hard, right, with some unexpected crises, some unexpected things. You know, these are real moments to draw near and to receive the comfort and grace of the Lord and the tangible expression of his love through the body of Christ represented here. I hear testimony after testimony from people right here who just say they just feel so much love in this place. It's very special. Don't ever lose it. Other than a crisis that's unexpected, other than our routine obligations, right, let's say of work or school, where we tend to be subject to maybe the decisions and priorities of, like, our boss, right? Kind of, or our teacher determining, say, hey, you got to do this, and kind of like, I don't want to do that, but you got to do this. You know, I need a paycheck. I need a grade. I need a good whatever. So those are moments when other people kind of influence our priorities and our decisions. So aside from that, let's consider our norms. Right, the time that we do have each week, the time that we can control, you know, in a typical week, what would it say? What would it say about our values and our priorities? I often have that reality check for me, you know, just the busyness of the time and kind of have to take a step back and like, wow, you know, like, it's okay to shut off for a while, you know, like, I would call it, I do still call it a what did I say? Like a warp zone, like a zoning out. Like I get home at like 10 o'clock at night from work, come home, it's like a warp zone. Like I come from a whole other world in retail and sales and this and that, and you come home, it's like I need that transition time, right? That's okay. That's okay. I'm not saying don't neglect, like that's not okay. But generally speaking, when we do have the time, you know, where do we spend it? What things do we pursue for satisfaction and significance, right, to fill us? And do I spend any time pursuing the only one who can truly satisfy my heart's desire, my deepest longing? That's the question. So I thought about this. Since the fall, you know, since sin entered the world, again, talking about going back, there's this need to belong. There's a longing that we now have that we didn't have before. So being united with God, our Creator, you know, before sin entered the world, it was like knowing Him, belonging to Him was just an attribute. It just was. Like, it was never a need. It just was. It was perfect union with our perfect Creator. But since sin entered the world and death through sin, there's that brokenness, right, that took place. So as a result, something happened, right? There's this need to belong. There's this longing for something more. There's a desire that will always go unmet and unfulfilled by anything this world has to offer. We all know this. When we're honest, we know this. We think for a moment it'll satisfy. And then we give in, and it doesn't, you know? So within every human heart, there's a longing that could only be filled by Christ Himself. How do we explain this? Because we were designed to be in a knowing relationship with God, our Creator. Sin produced a void, a chasm, or it's been termed a God-shaped hole, right? God-shaped hole that only He could fill. Jesus came to mend the void, fully meet our true need to be accepted, loved, and valued. Listen to this quote from St. Augustine. He's a theologian of the early church. He put it simply and profoundly this way. Our hearts were made for You, O Lord, and they are restless until they rest in You. Hallelujah. Think about that. There's a restlessness that only Jesus can steady. Only Jesus can steady. You know, when we allow Him in, when we accept His invitation, we come to Him, we pursue Him continually, we find rest. The reality is, when we choose to prioritize our relationship with Christ and pursue knowing Him more intimately, we will experience His rest, His joy, His peace. And that's a clue when we look at Mary, like she did. Martha, on the other hand, don't like to beat her up because I give everyone benefit of the doubt. Her heart was to serve and her heart was to do a good thing. But Jesus is basically saying she missed it right there. She missed it. According to Luke 10, verse 41, Jesus says, Martha was worried and bothered about so many things. She was distracted. She was distracted. Does that describe anyone here? I felt it this week. I felt a lot of distractions this week. Amen. When we don't make time for the one necessary thing, it's so easy to be preoccupied with what worries us, with what troubles us, with what concerns us. And it consumes our soul. It consumes everything. It consumes our mind, our emotion, our will, which translates to our actions. It consumes all of us. And our soul's not at rest. Yet God is offering his rest. God has offered his rest. In the midst of whatever hardship or hurt you or I might be facing right now, whatever fears or perceived failures, sometimes they're not always failures in God's eyes, but we perceive them to be failures. Even our perceived failures, God can redeem. Whatever dreams and desires we might be chasing after, our own ambition, right? Ambition is not a bad thing, but often it's misdirected. That's all. You know, what's your hope set on? You know, is it the bigger and better? Is it the security in the economy? Is it the security in an income or a job or a relationship? Everything's very fragile. Everything's very fragile. We're not promised tomorrow, not one of us. So consider the Lord is saying, peace be still. Peace be still. Stop worrying. Stop striving. Stop wrestling and fleeing from me. It's like he's pursuing you. He's pursuing me. Stop pursuing what's only harming you. Consider him saying this. And then he invites us to come. He says, sit at my feet. Start breathing again. Start living again. Start listening to my voice. Start connecting with my word. And start experiencing my comfort, my peace, my rest, my loving purpose for you. This is God's heart for his kids. This is God's heart for his kids. What good father, what good mother wouldn't grieve if they saw their kid just blowing it? Being misdirected, misguided. And yet, they know so well that what they're doing is not good. It's only going to lead to harm or failure or further disappointment. Or maybe even death itself, right? There's these paths, you know, the path of life, the path that leads to death. So just know that God desires good for his kids, you know? Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The rest is found in him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's so much more to that passage, but very simply, it's a beautiful invitation from our Lord. Beautiful invitation. We're so easily wearied and burdened by the cares of this broken world. That's just how it is. Jesus understands our tendency is to shrink back. Our tendency is to withdraw, to check out, to zone out. For this reason, he offers true rest for our soul. And he desires for us to know him. In this way, will we accept the invite? Will we accept the invite? He wants us to know his rest. Not just hear about it. Not just hear me say it or sing about it. Not to read it in a nice little quote on a plaque, you know, but to really know it. To know his peace. To know his rest. Here's a few more personal promises to those who know him. John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. Hear the heart of Christ. He knows our being. He knows our frame. He knows how easily we are prone to feeling heavy-hearted and wearied and fearful. He wants us to know his peace. John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes, there's the invitation again, he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Similarly, John 7:37-38. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes, there's the invitation, come. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Now he's not talking about our physical appetites here. We understand this, right? There's always more to Jesus' words. Jesus is talking about a soul hunger, that deep longing and thirst that only he can personally quench. And he does so how? By giving his spirit to anyone who comes, anyone who believes, anyone who knows him. Maybe some of us or someone here is feeling a growing emptiness inside. You feel like you can't escape that void. You know, maybe you thought you had it figured out a bit. Maybe you considered it was a little more about the doing of our faith and not so much about the being with Christ. And maybe you're craving something more meaningful and real and lasting. It's time to let go. It's time to let go of trying to figure it all out on your own. And I encourage you to continually pursue and draw near to the one who said, whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. That's God's invitation to us. Jesus, the bread of life, Jesus, water, is offering that invitation to us all. To those who know him, his promise is this. To all who are wearied and tired, he offers for us to know his rest. To all who are worried and fearful, he offers for us to experience his peace. To all who are spiritually thirsty and hungry, he offers to not only satisfy our soul needs, but to give an abundant supply of his Holy Spirit within us, overflowing into the lives of others. There's so much more he wants to do in and through us. And that's why nothing compares to knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him, but knowing him, growing in that knowing relationship with Lord Jesus himself. By the way, these words, I definitely needed this week. And that's often how God brings me to these places. I needed to hear and meditate on these truths. That's just straight up. Spending time in God's Word, connecting with him through quiet moments in prayer is my lifeline. I'm not always perfect in it. Nobody is. But when he leads me there, it's good. It's really good. And it revives me. It restores me. It refreshes me. You know, and there's a strength in that. You know, that's why the scripture says, and maybe the song earlier kind of had that phrase, you know, the joy. There's a strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. You know, as we make the Lord himself our joy, you know, it becomes a strength because the things that used to affect us and tear us down, you know, the worries, the cares, the fears, the complexities, the tension, the lies that come against us, like, they just get a little quieter. They get a little quieter because God's word gets a little louder. You know, we get to hear him a little more clearly, you know, and it just lifts us up, you know. So, yeah, I had that moment. It took me a little while, but I had that moment this week. I praise God for it because something really disappointing happened to me this week. And it was really kind of a negative impact that really took me by surprise. And I'm just being a little transparent. And it's something I'm still trying to process through with the Lord. I'm sure many of us can relate. You know, that suddenly, that sudden unexpected thing that was just, whoa, where did this come from? You know what I mean? Where did this come from, Lord? Like, I don't like that. I'm not happy about that. What do you do? What do you do? Jesus is saying, do the one thing necessary. Come to me. Come to me. Even if you can't fully understand right now, just know that in my presence, you will find a fullness of joy that will lift you out of it. And I'm going to reassure you, it's going to be okay. That's how the Lord has been ministering to me in this. So if I allowed myself to get drowned out in the discouragement and the frustration, like, it'll affect my focus. It'll affect my focus from the one thing necessary and the purpose to which the Lord Jesus has called me to. The purpose to which he's called you to. Right? There's a purpose. But even if I thought I might not be able to stand even here this morning, and there's times when maybe you thought, how can I get through this? I don't understand. I'm not able. How many of you know that the Lord is able? The Lord is able to do exceedingly above and beyond. Above and beyond. All that we ask, think, or imagine. He's able, too, to accomplish, his word says, what concerns us. To accomplish what concerns me today is the song. And that's the reminders that come so clearly when we enter in and come into his presence to sit at his feet. So by his grace, all I'm doing, and all I know that you do too, because there's a lot of ministry happening in this house. You know, the saints represented in this place are really front line, you know, and I'm blessed by your heart. It inspires me and encourages me to see the perseverance in this place, because I've been hit with a lot of hard things, right? And yet you press on with a strength that's not your own. It's the Lord's strength working in and through you, you know? So on that note, I want to share something. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. This is just very interesting. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So check this out. Just think about this. Receiving his divine power is connected with our knowing him. The power to breathe again, the power to live again, the power to press on. And a strength that's not our own. You know, all that we need for life, all that we need to deal with our trials, our suffering, how we war, right? And in the spiritual realm, right? The scripture says our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? But there's a spiritual battle taking place. Can't always explain it. But as we've said before, or I've shared, when we're honest with ourselves, we know it's real. There's a real tension. There's real things trying to hold us back from being all in with Jesus. And yet he says his divine power, we have access to this divine power for everything that we need in life and in godliness and growing in him through our knowledge of him, through a knowing relationship with him. So the more intimately we know Christ, the more we will hold on to his life-giving words. We'll hold them close. We'll treasure his word. We'll hold them real tightly. These are the words of life. It's our personal, first-hand, experiential knowledge of our loving Savior and his promises that fully equips and empowers us to live out what he's called us to, his good plans, his good purposes. Listen to this quote. This was actually my devotion earlier in the week. So again, I'm just sharing things that in some of my quiet time that the Lord spoke to me. Oswald Chambers, many of you might be familiar with him. Very old school guy, and yet so timeless, so timeless. He says, there's only one relationship that matters most, and that is your personal relationship to a personal Redeemer and Lord. Let everything else go, but maintain that relationship at all costs, and God will fulfill His purpose through your life. Right? Only one relationship that matters the most, and we're to maintain it at all costs. Remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? A whole other example of this beautiful imagery of our complete dependency and reliance on Jesus, the branch, and us, the vine, through whom we get our nourishment. Right? That's the picture. You get it? I don't have the passage for today, but Jesus is the life source of the believer. That's basically the point. Jesus is our life source. You know, we feed off of Him. We receive from Him so that we can bear fruit. Bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So everything we need for life and godliness comes through our knowing relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't afford, with all that's going on in our time, like, who knows? Like, okay, tangent. Who knows, you know? Who knows what the church will look like? The church in America. Who knows how things will go down in the days ahead? We have to be anchored to something more. We have to be anchored to someone who is far more able to help us persevere and to stay steadfast in what He calls us to, however it goes down. So we can't afford. That's the point. We can't afford to not make time for the one thing necessary. That's like our huddle, right? To use a little sports analogy, right? With the Super Bowl coming, right? You'll see a lot of, or you'll see huddling all the time. Sorry, might have messed that one up. But the point is, sports, right? Why do they huddle? It's like a debriefing. They have an objective. They have a goal. They're intent on getting there. So what do? They huddle. They talk. They slip away. They slip away. They come together. They dialogue. They talk. And there's one who leads. There's one who leads. There's one who gives a direction. For us, the people of God, our leader is the Lord Jesus Himself. We can't neglect huddling with Him. It's too intense a day. And my gosh, like, what would this message sound like or look like if we were in parts of Afghanistan or other parts of the globe where we can't even assemble like this? You know what I'm saying? So please, we can't ever take any of this for granted. No, we don't sorrow. No, we don't despair. We don't run into a cave because of fear. That's not what God's calling us to. Never is the message doom and gloom. No, right? It's filled with great hope, right? That we do have a coming King. We do have a coming King that will one day make all things new again. And for now, where are the laborers in the field, in the harvest that He's sending out, right? But all along with that objective, all along with that goal, we need to constantly huddle with Him. We need to constantly say, Lord, what's the game plan? What's the game plan? Yeah, I missed it over there. I blew it. I hurt your heart. I hurt your heart right there with my sin. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Fill me again. Fill me again. Restore me again. I want to run hard again. I don't want to fall again. Right? I missed the ball. The ball was intercepted. Man, I let that happen. Jesus, show me how to do better next time. Show me. Give me your word. Let me stay close to your word. I want to be like Mary, who soaks in your every word, who sits at your feet and listens for the next game, for the next play. If that's what it needs to be. Sometimes it's not always that way, you know? So Mary chose what was better. And you and I are given a choice too. Remember, the scripture says she chose. Jesus said, she chose. We do have a part in this. Don't ever think that we just sit back as Christians. We say a prayer. We have our entrance into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and it ends there. Never ends there. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. He gives us a choice to continually pursue growth in Christ or to refrain, to draw near or to withdraw, to allow His Spirit to minister in and through us or remain distracted and disconnected by relying on our own strength, trying to figure it all out, right? That interception that just happened, that fumble, trying to figure it all out and just getting stuck there. God doesn't want us to get stuck there, right? He wants us to press on, to keep going. So how desperately we need His peace, how desperately we need His power, His presence to help us overcome the sin and the troubles that face us and the onslaught, that spiritual battle, right, that comes against us. We don't war in the flesh and the body and the natural. There's a war in the spiritual. The scripture talks all about this. It's very, a lot actually. But whatever the battle, whatever the struggle, how encouraging to know that His invitation never expires. Jesus always says and is repeatedly calling us to come to Him. To come to Him. And remember, it's our privilege. It's our privilege to personally know and love God as He desires to be personally loved and known. Nothing else compares to this. Amen. So I encourage you, continually make time to meet with Him. Right? Get to that huddle. Fight for that huddle. Please stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, we trust that You hold our lives in the palm of Your hands. We don't always get it, Lord. We have real struggles. We have real questions. But Jesus, I thank You that You've invited us in to know Your heart, to know Your peace, to know Your rest, to know the purpose that You've given for us individually and as a church. God, the ministry that You've called us to be Your ambassadors, ministers of reconciliation. God, we know that this is the high call that You've placed on us. And even beyond all that and along with that, You call us always to return back to You, to come to You. So Lord, would You just help now anyone here who's struggling and really struggling with this, feeling a bit trapped, Lord, maybe dealing with a bit of guilt and shame, Lord, because they dropped the ball, they missed, they allowed an interception, whatever it might have been. Lord, would you assure them so loudly how much You love them, Lord God? So yeah, just encourage Your people, Lord, encourage Your people this week, and may we prioritize time with You. Above all else, Lord, You are the one thing necessary. You are the King of endless worth. Thank You, God. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a blessed week, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Okay. I, as well as many others, needed that message.
Yeah, oh, man, me too. Well, I got to...